Yeah, I was so excited to have help getting up here again that I forgot the mic. I missed that last time I was here, so. Okay. Well, before we get started, I can't see, sorry. Maybe I'll move down here. How's that? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Well, before we get started, you'll notice in your program a 3x5 index card. Well, let me ask, how many of you were at the chaplain training this weekend? Okay. Well, this is going to be a duplication, kind of. I did not realize when I put this program together, you would all be doing an exercise similar. But that's okay, because I've found that in this exercise, no matter how many times you do it, you always learn new things. So, divine order. Okay. Well, I'd like to tell you a story about a little baby boy born in Texas. Is that echoing? Okay. I might just have to get back here. How's that? Does that echo? Okay. How is that okay? Okay. About a little baby boy born in Texas. He grew up to be a brilliant man. He was awarded a Rhodes Scholar, a scholarship at Oxford University. He was even considered a scholar of the poet William Blake. After his studies, he enlisted and went to Vietnam and was a helicopter pilot. And I've learned later that not only was he a helicopter pilot, but he was one of the few who would go back for second and third missions to pick up the injured. After that, he taught at West Point. Then he went home and he married his high school sweetheart. And they had a child. Sounds like an idyllic life, but only if it's one you choose. Because he was always restless, no matter what he was doing, because he remembered the wise words of the poet that he loved, William Blake, who talked about the importance of being authentic, of being the real us. And that if we were not living the life that we were meant to live, that we were damned. Not damned in that old way that maybe we've heard, damned to hell, but damned to a life without meaning. And so that was always in the back of his mind. So one day he decided that he was going to move to Nashville. So he took his wife and child and he moved to Nashville so he could be close to music, so he could write music, which was indeed his great love. He took a job as a janitor. And then he began to share some of his music with performers. They loved it. And then he began to get a name for himself. Well, in the meantime, his mother, who was so proud of her son who had lived up to her expectations, wrote him and said, "You don't need to come home again. I am disappointed in you, all that you had going, and here you are writing hillbilly music. What could I tell my friends?" Can you imagine a mother doing that? So he continued to stay in Nashville and write his music, becoming more and more famous all the time. Wrote music for Willie Nelson, for Johnny Cash, for Janis Joplin. and then even began to record some of his own music. Willie Nelson says of him that he is a beautiful poet, and that every song that he writes is like a piece of poetry. And I'd like to share a verse of one of his songs, and it's "I'd Rather Be Sorry." "If you hurt me, you won't be the first or the last in a lifetime of many mistakes. But I won't spend tomorrow regretting the past for the chances that I didn't take. 'Cause I'll never know till it's over if I'm right or if I'm wrong loving you. But I'd rather be sorry for something I've done than for something that I didn't do." Anyone know who that person was? Kris Kristofferson, yes. Kris Kristofferson. Now, I was shocked because I just always saw Kris Kristofferson as some disheveled singer, I don't know. But where I heard that story was on PBS. Ken Burns did an 8-week episode of country music on PBS several weeks ago. And that's where I heard that story. So if you ever have a chance, if there's a repeat, to watch that, it's phenomenal. It tells about the history and the culture of country music that I had no idea. Who knew? So what the world would have missed had Kris Kristofferson not decided to step into his authentic self, to be who he was, some of the beautiful poetry, the music that we have missed. So what does it mean to be authentic anyway? What means to live from the inside out, that real of us, who we are, is what is being expressed and manifested out here. But often, we don't do that. That we hide who we are, that we end up trying to live someone else's dream of who they think we should be. In the early 60s, a Jesuit by the name of John Powell wrote a little book called "Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am?" Anyone read that book? And in that book, he says that people are afraid to tell you who they really are, because they think, if you know who I am, what if you don't like me? So we hide it out of fear of being judged, out of fear of not being loved. But what happens when we do that, when we hide who we are, we miss so much of the beauty of life. We miss living the gift of who we are. You know, in Unity, we teach that we are all unique and beautiful individual expressions of God. No mistake, whoever we are is wonderful. The expression of God's breath as us is wonderful. So why ever would we hide that? I once heard a rabbi say that if you are not living your real self, if you are not living the life that you are called to live, the universe is not operating totally as it should. That each of us is that important, a part of that universe. The gift we bring to add to the tapestry of humanity. And then, of course, if we're not living who we are, we're not happy, usually. Anyone ever tried meeting someone's expectations that you couldn't because it wasn't who you are? Who could have a happy existence like that? And also, it keeps us from bringing the real us into the world to make a difference for others. Not just our own happiness, but how, when we are being authentic, that we can speak the truth of who we are and open up doors for other people. I'm reminded of First Lady Betty Ford, who always said, "Don't call me a Democrat, don't call me a Republican, I am a person," which I thought was pretty cool. But what a difference she made by being her authentic self. It was Betty Ford who was the first woman that I'm aware of who talked about breast cancer, who said, "I have breast cancer." And because of that, millions of women started having mammograms. That she brought that to the forefront, that people weren't hiding it any longer, but were talking about it and getting the help that they needed. And she also is the person that said, "I drink too much and I need help." And the Betty Ford Center that was opened up in California treated thousands of people with addictions. And those two things started because she was authentic and honest. "I have breast cancer. I drink too much." What a difference she made. And how many of you remember the great tennis player Arthur Ashe from the 90s, who sadly died of AIDS? He had had a transfusion and contracted AIDS. But rather than hiding it, he went public and he talked about it. And there was a big shift in research and help for those who had AIDS because of him. Because he stepped into his authentic self and told what he was going through. So the beautiful gift that we bring to the whole world when we're being who we are, the gift of who we are. So how do we find out who we are? Well, one of the ways to do that is to ask ourselves, what do I admire in others? Because, you know, we see in others that which is in us, right? You don't recognize it if you don't have it. And that's not only for the great stuff. It's also for that stuff that we'd maybe not like to talk about. I remember Jane Waddington when I was in ministerial school. She visited our class, and she said, "Know this, if you see it, it's yours. If you see it, it's yours." So now what I'd like for us to do with that little card that you found in your program, in this exercise, we're going to modify it. Probably won't be as long as the one you all did this weekend. So if you'll take that out and put that pen or pencil in your hand and ask Spirit to just move through your hand, through your heart, to give you the ideas. And to write down, I don't know, four or five more if you have time, of people that you admire. They can be alive or dead, famous or not, people you know or people you've read about in history books. But at least someone who's real, not a fictional character. So then behind each of those names, write 3, 4, 5 qualities that you admire in them. Why did you choose those? So again, just ask Spirit to speak through that pencil or that pen in your hand. Who do you admire? And why do you admire them? So we'll take about 5 or 7 minutes for this. just a couple of more minutes. And you know what I'd ask you to do is to look at the first person and the first quality that you wrote down and see how many times that appears with the other people that you admire. And then the second quality, to see how many times that appears. Okay. And third and fourth. Okay, so I'm sure you can look at that card and get a pretty good idea of the qualities that resonate the most with you. And what's wonderful about this exercise, I've been doing this actually for years. Maria Namath is where I learned this years and years ago. But not to make it a one-time exercise, do it often, because as we grow spiritually, when we're on our path, that the qualities that we are ready to express are more as we grow. So a quick exercise occasionally to see where we are on that. Okay. So being who we are, being out here what we are in here, being authentic, and knowing that when we are living the gift that we were created to live. We know that we can have a happier, more fulfilling life. We know that we can, by living the gift of who we are, bring great things to others. Who we are. So I'd like to close with this beautiful prayer, I would call it, that I found on Facebook some time ago. And it says, how cool is it that the same God that created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too? I'm going to read that again. I think that is just so beautiful. How cool is it that the same God that created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too? Amen to that. So that same God, that omnipresent God that we affirm the truth of each time that we gather as Unity folks, the one presence and one power that is in the universe, that presence, that power is what created you and me. How wonderful is that? So now let us together affirm this truth. Our affirmation that there is only one presence, one power in the universe and at work in our life, God, the good, omnipotent. And let's do that knowing the connection that we have created by that power, the beautiful individual expression and gift to the world that we are. So together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in work in my life, God the good, omnipotent.